If you got a Bible tonight, if you would open up to Psalms 37 in verse 3, and just put a finger there or just leave it open to that. We're going to get to it in a second. But I want to talk to you tonight about the faithfulness of our God. The faithfulness of our God. That word faithfulness has got several pictures, if you will, in Hebrew. When we look at the Hebrew language and we look at the word for faithfulness, the Bible describes God as being faithful. God describes himself as being faithful. And that word has several images or several pictures that go along with it. One of the pictures or one of the images that we get from the word faithful is this, that what he has done, he will continue to do, no matter if you believe it or not. I'm going to make this point over and over tonight until something in our mindset shifts to the point of where we are able to walk in a form of faith that shifts our circumstances and brings them into alignment with God's purposes for our life. We're going to hit this one over and over and over again, because even though I'm saying it right now and you are mentally agreeing to what I am saying, I can tell you that your circumstances, that life, that the demonic realm, that this world itself is warring with this idea that God is faithful and what he has begun in you, he will continue to do, and that it's not dependent upon you. I have, you know, you have a story. I have a story. Each one of us, you know, we only can tell our stories. And in my life, I have several things that God has done. He has touched me. He has set me free in areas of my life where I had, it's nothing to do with me. It's just God. God touched, God did. I have specific things in my life, works of God, that he began in one season, and I am continuing to see him do it over and over and over again. As my circumstances are changing, as my story is unfolding, my life story, I continue to see God do these things, these specific things, over and over and over again. And as he's been consistent in his behavior towards me, I'm finally beginning to trust him in these areas of my life. I don't know what you're if you know what I'm referencing tonight, or can get your heart and head around this at the beginning here, but I want you to think right now about the things that God has done for you. Like, seriously. Right now, in this moment, just do me a favor, close your eyes, and I want you to think about something that God has done, specifically, not in general, like, oh, he saved me. Yes, he saved you. But what did he save you from? He healed me. Okay, awesome. He's your healer. Not healer in general. What did he heal you from? He's my provider. Awesome. That's great. It is one of his names. When did he provide? I want you to think right now. Slow your thought process down and begin to intentionally remember. Put the members of your memory back together. Remember something specific that God's done for you. Come on. Do it right now. What has God done in your life? Somebody shout something out. What did he do for you? Everything. That's a good one. Come on, Adam. That young man right there that just replied should not be sitting in our room because of severe, severe injury, and the Lord completely restored him and healed him, brought him back to life, and he gets to be with his family here. Everything. You're right, man. Come on, what's God done? Something specific. Just shout it out. Gave you a wife. That's awesome. Something else. What did God do? Healing. He healed you. What did he heal you of? A bad back. Awesome. Something else. Deliverance from smoking. Awesome. Made you sober. Come on. Provided a child. Job. Job, child, same thing. Provided a job, yes. Heal your broken heart. Can I just encourage you right now? You know, we're gonna talk about God's faithfulness tonight, and I'm gonna show you some things about this that make the list or the inventory of what God's done in your life very pertinent. Like, makes it so applicable that you would take time, if you would just intentionally take some time to take inventory of the things that God has done in your life, you will see just how practical and how clear that your path for the next season is actually in front of you. That these things that he's done in your past actually have projected what you are to be doing in your future. That there's not accidents, that these aren't just happenstances, that these aren't just you just happen to be in the right place at the right time. No. No, God specifically has touched and he's done something in your life, and his faithfulness says this. The word itself, his character, that he is faithful, means literally that he did this work for you, he touched you, he did something, and that it has become a promise over your future that he will continue to do it. The word faithful means I did it and I'm going to continue to do it. Do you pause and think about that? He healed you? That means that he's going to continue to. Come on, Dana, you never have to worry about injury, sickness, all that stuff. That work of healing is in your life. And oh, by the way, it's yours to give away as well. Come on, provided jobs, provision, Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides. The fact that God has done this for you, Kevin, means that he is Jehovah Jireh, and you have the authority, because God has done this, to call upon the name of the Lord, his name, Jehovah Jireh, and he will continue to pry. He did it one season. He'll continue to do it all through the rest of your life. You never have to worry about money. Seriously, this really is how it works. It's not a name it, claim it. That's not the not what I'm talking about here. I'm not talking about some weird thing of, oh, I heard somebody say it, and so I'm claiming it, brother. No. No, if God did a work in your life, he is faithful. It means that he will continue to do that work for the rest of your life. It doesn't... I'm not saying that you can't access other people's things. That's all I'm saying. We're going to talk about that in a moment. What I'm talking about is you. What has God done in your life? Because who he is to you, who he has revealed himself to be in your life, will be consistent for the rest of your life. The work that he's done in you has released a grace inside of you that is a gift. You're not just looking for some activation of the Holy Spirit to have a gift. You are a gift because of what God has done in you. Anybody in here have their sins forgiven? Yes, that was a down payment, a deposit on the reality that Jesus is the propitiation of your sins, past, present, future. When he forgave you, it means there's this propitiation. It will continue to happen. If you continue to call upon the name of the Lord, the one who has forgiven, you will continue to be forgiven. It's a promise perpetual over your life. You are an object of his mercy. You can't get out of it. You will continue to be an object of his mercy because he is faithful. Is anyone alive tonight? So in my life, I'll just tell some stories. I have never had lack. Every single season of my life, whatever I put my hands to, prospers. True story, I'm telling my story, I'm not telling your story, I'm not promising this to everyone, there's not some weird thing going on here, I'm just telling my story. Everything that I put my hands to has prospered. I have never had a season where there is lack. God has always been my provider, Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides. When I came out of the military, I went into I was a full-time student in college. At the same time, I was working full-time at a church. I was making $19,000 a year. I had two children, and my rent for the townhome that we're living in was $1,000 a month. Okay, $19,000 a year, 12 of that goes to rent. You can do the math. It doesn't work out. You with me? Okay. In that season, when this was a reality, our financial reality, we never, anytime there was something would run out, the Lord would provide it. My car broke on a Tuesday. By Thursday, someone had pulled an SUV into my driveway and said, "The Lord told me to give this to you." Not kidding. We lived at a status of income that was far beyond what I was making, and it was completely supernatural. Oh, by the way, we're tithing on top of that. Like, we're giving back to the Lord, and we're sowing, and we are giving offerings, and we're just being generous with our lives, and continually, perpetually, finances, all the time, have never had lack. I don't have to be anxious, because God has always provided for me. Out of that season, my wife and I are called to plant a church. So we make the choice, hey, we're going to leave the job that doesn't provide enough anyway, to plant a church with four couples total, okay, eight of us. Eight of us are going to plant a church, and so I'm leaving an income that doesn't provide to move towards an occupation that doesn't provide, but because I know God is faithful, I have no issue here. I don't know if you hear what I'm saying. What God did in my life before, he continued to do. So we put our hands to the plow. We started a Bible study, and we just began to meet on Saturday nights. You know, that realm of provision extended over the church itself. To where now, because we put our hands to this work, that the God who provides is the God who provides over what it is that I'm putting my hands to. So now this church has the realm of provision because God, who is my provider, is continuing to provide. This church has never ever had a season where we're in the red. Ever. We've never had a moment where we're in the red. We have had some really, really, really tight moments. But literally, so we knew that we were called to be a house of prayer. So we're supposed to be praying, right? And we didn't have a facility to be praying in. And we didn't know what to do. But we knew we were supposed to be praying, right? And I know in the back of my head that God is my provider. I've never had lack. I never will have lack. He is Jehovah Jireh. I know how to call on the name of the Lord who provides. Are you with me here? So a friend of mine, Josh Johnson, and I, we get in a car and we're going to go on a real estate tour to find a place for us to begin to pray and worship 24/7. Right? And so we pull into this mall, this, you know, strip mall. And in the lower level of this strip mall is this room. And we go into this room and we're taking this real estate tour and they tell us, oh, this is going to cost you $1,000 a month to lease from us. Okay. We don't have any money. None. Like, there's no bank account that's like flush and like, oh yeah, we have budgeted for this. We're going to be able to do this. No. It's just like, oh, God told us to do it. So he's just going to have to figure it out. And this has kind of been my attitude towards this. I don't know if it's right or righteous. It's just been my attitude. And my attitude towards it has just kind of been, well, if God tells me to do it, then it's his problem. Right? He's not asking me to fund it. He'll fund it. It's his thing. Now, if I begin to do my thing and then ask God to fund it, this is where we get into problems. See where that goes a little bit there? Okay. So we're like, okay, well, we're going to sign a lease committing to the next year of $1,000 a month, of which we don't have. You know, that week, I get a check in the mail for $12,000 from a family that does not attend the church nor have any relationship to. They just, knew we were doing something and felt like they wanted to sow into what God was doing. Holy Spirit prompted them. Boom, there's the check. Providing the full year's lease. Okay, I understand that I'm telling my story. Okay, and some of you are like, well, good for you. You know, must be nice. Don't cop that attitude, because what you realize about the grace of God is that it's transmittable. Okay? Don't get that way. Honor what the Lord does. Now, I'm not asking you to honor me because I am somehow the provider. I'm not the provider. He's the provider. It's just that God has done this work in me, and I know he's faithful, so I have a trust level. And that trust level, sometimes, now, you got to hear me, what's the difference between confidence and arrogance? Do you know the difference between confidence and arrogance is? Arrogance, it's a very thin line. Arrogance begins to believe that God's faithfulness is based off of something you've done. You think it's about you. You think it's about you. And so you transition from it being like so thankful to God because he's doing this work and it's just who he is, to beginning to believe that it has something to do with you. No, you're not the man. Trust me, you're not. You're really little. Don't be offended by that. You're really little compared to God. The God in you is much bigger than you. Now, it's not that you're not important. You are. You're a vessel. You're a son or a daughter. He's calling you to co-labor with him. He wants you to do greater works than he did, which is an amazing act of humility considering he's God. But his faithfulness isn't based off of something you do. The works that he did in your life, he will continue to do. One of the things that that fights against you and I being fruitful in life, because God looks at our lives and he sows seed. And Jesus described the word of God is like a seed. And so when God speaks, it's like a seed that goes into the soil of your heart. And depending on the soil of your heart, that soil or the condition of your soul, the condition of your heart, your belief systems, your fears, your anxieties, your past experiences that are warring with what God wants to do, your belief systems, the people that are around you that are not believing in the things that God's told you, these kinds of things are at war and are creating a type of soil in your heart. And the soil of your heart is what is going to determine how fruitful that seed is. Jesus said that you can have a hard heart, you can have a heart that has strongholds in it or rocks in it, so it's really shallow. You can have a heart that's full of worries and anxieties or lies, or you can have a heart that's fruitful. The seed is the word of God, and every time he speaks to you or every time he does a work in you or for you, that seed goes into your life. That seed has everything in it that's necessary to produce a tree that will make fruit. And can I tell you that God is not looking for foliage? He doesn't want a nice tree with leaves. He's looking for fruit. He's not interested in a vine that doesn't have grapes on it. He is looking for fruit. Right? Look at your neighbor and say, you are supposed to be fruity. When God speaks to you, when God does a work, it is a seed of the kingdom. And that seed is supposed to go into your life. It is supposed to develop into something that can produce the same type of fruit, the same works for other people. It's supposed to mature. It's supposed to mature. So hear me out, okay? Again, I can only talk about my experiences. Now, I have several things. Like, Holy Spirit began to talk to me, like, speak to me. put promptings on my heart, show me pictures, you know, give me encouraging words for people, this kind of thing, a prophetic kind of gifting, right? Well, the Lord began to do that to me when I was about, 12 years old, right? And he would do that, and that seed came into my life. He spoke to me. I heard his voice. That seed came into my life, and it began to be cultivated over time. You know, I had lots of things warring against me hearing the voice of the Lord. I was in a part of a church that had doctrine that said, God doesn't even talk today. Well, I had experiences that contradicted that. I'm having a problem with doctrine. Like, can I just tell you that a man with an argument has no power over a man with an experience? A man with an argument, if you have a theological argument, but I have an experience actually with God, your arguments aren't going to make any headway. Like, he's actually spoke to me. Don't tell me he doesn't speak. Are you kidding me? Let me prophesy over you right now. Like, what are you talking about? Don't tell me the gifts aren't for today. The only reason that you believe the gifts aren't for today is because you haven't experienced it. How much of the world have you actually experienced? 10%? Of all the information that there is to know about everything, how much of it do you know? 0.0001% of everything that there is to know? Do you think possibly that God in his sovereignty and his power could exist in the 99.99999% that you don't know? Or have you experienced it all? It's become silly, right? An argument doesn't have power over an experience because the experience itself, and let me just tell you, the experience itself is a seed of the kingdom. Like, anything that God does, he does out of his grace. You can't have God do something and not have his grace imparted to it. Everything he does gives grace to people. Grace, the word grace, is the word charis. It's where we get the word charisma or charismatic. It's so funny to me to be, or have been in my past, a part of a church that believed that charismatics were crazy. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about? The people that have grace are the ones with the problem? Or is it the people that won't admit that they're receiving grace from God that have the problem? I'm going to go ahead and be a charismatic. Let's go ahead and steward grace. When every time God does something, he gives grace. He imparts grace. You can't get away from it. Through faith, by grace, you are saved. Is not of yourselves, it is a work of God, so that no man can boast. You got saved this way, and everything that God does is in this manner. What stands in the way of us being fruitful is the condition of our hearts and the stewardship of that seed. When God does a work in your life, and this is why I'm saying, if you'll take inventory and just look to see what has God done in your life, you will see your future. Because what he did in your past, he wants to continue to do. And what he's asking you to do is steward the things that he has done. How do you get a gift of healing? By getting healed. You can get it two ways. You either get healed, so the grace of God touched your life in the form of healing, and so now you got healed, freely you've received, freely give. Yes, a ministry was given to you as soon as he touched you in that way. Right? You got saved. Guess what? The power to evangelize was imparted to you. This is why everyone is supposed to be in the work of evangelism. It's not the evangelist's job to do the work. It's everyone who got saved. Are you with me here? Every time God does a work in your life, it becomes and supposed to be stewarded to produce fruit. Well, you can't intentionally do that unless you look to see actually what he's done. One of the things that wars against fruitfulness is something called fear. anxiety. Fear and anxiety war against our belief system. Fear wars against the reality of what God did in the past and that He'll do it again. Case in point, I shared with you about how we planted the church. Provision, always. The Lord just continued to provide. Can I tell you that every time we had a decision to make and the weight of having to commit monies that were not there and having no way to provide it, right? And the determination in myself, I am not going to work harder at this than God. Like, He's telling me to do it, so this is His problem. Are you seeing how this is actually a foundational thought to beginning to work off of or feed on the faithfulness of God? So you need to recognize this is of God, it is by God, and He's the one who will continue to do these things. However, if you allow fear to steal away your confidence towards God in this area, as soon as fear sets in, as soon as anxiety sets in, you know what people want to do? You know what I wanted to do? Control. I want to control. I want to determine, I want to make sure that the money is in the bank before I sign the check. I need God to give me a sign before I go and share the gospel to somebody. I need the Lord to cause, I'm going to lay a rug outside my door, and I'm going to pray that God would cause the rug to be full of water and all the ground dry, right, in order to prove that I'm supposed to fill in the blank. We end up with a test in our souls. We end up with fear dictating, warring against our confidence of what God had done in the past. Warring with our confidence that He'll continue to do it. But friends, I'm telling you tonight, this is the definition. This is who your God is. The work that He started in you, He's going to carry to completion. What does a completed work look like to you? If I held up an acorn, we took a look at that acorn. What's inside of that acorn? It's an oak tree. It is an oak tree. It may just look like a seed, but everything that's necessary for this to become an oak tree is inside this seed. It is small, and it's going to have to be cultivated. I'm going to have to put it in the soil. I'm going to have to dig around. I'm going to have to give it nutrients. I'm going to have to take care of it. These are things that God has given me to do. I have a stewardship with taking care of the soil, but the seed itself will produce. If I'm fearful and I begin to control, if I'm fearful and I begin to draw back, and instead of trusting that the work that God did in me, He's going to carry on until this becomes a mature work. What does that seed look like as a mature work? Looks like an oak tree. How long does it take for a seed to turn into an oak tree? Quite a while. Can I just tell you, you got some works in you that God has been working on for decades. You got works in you that are working on for decades. I was doing my own inventory today, and when I was 4 years old, I was sitting in the back of my mom's car. We're going down the freeway. This is before child safety locks. I opened the door, and I fell out of the car. True story. I fell out of the car. My mother turned around, and there I was sitting in the car. She said, "What just happened?" As a four-year-old, I said, "I fell out of the car, and an angel put me back in." True story. You know that I have always been protected. I cannot tell you how many near misses I've had with my motorcycle. I can't tell you how many near misses I've had with trees on my mountain bike. I have always been protected. I have been in hostile environments. In the military, I have been in situations that I was way over my head, and always, always, always there has been divine intervention in my life. Now you tell me, is that about me or is that about God just being faithful? It's just who he is, y'all. There's some works that the Lord started when you were a kid. There's some works that have been going on for decades. There's some works that are generational that the Lord did in previous generations, and he is bringing it forward because you're a part of that family line. And you're supposed to take hold of this and steward it on through the next generation. These aren't things to be forgotten. These are things to be cultivated and remembered, brought back before him, recited before him. Why? Is it to remind God or is it to remind you? Psalms 37:3. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Trust God. Dwell in the land. Don't get all uptight and anxious. Don't try to just go and do a bunch of stuff by yourself. Trust him. Do good. Remain. But feed on his faithfulness. Intentionally nourish your spirit, nourish your soul with the testimonies of what God has done in your life and in the lives of others. Nourish yourself. Can I tell you that this is a key to walking in fruitfulness for your life? It is stewarding the stories of what God has done in your life and in the lives of others. If you'll steward the stories, you'll steward the testimonies. Remember, if you'll intentionally recite them, bring them before your memory, make them a part of your prayer life, declare them over your future, declare them over other people, you will see your life begin to bear fruit according to what God had done in your life in the past. Anyone in here want to move in a healing ministry? Anyone here want to move in any kind of spiritual gift? Okay, have you ever tasted of it before? Yeah, little touches of it, maybe. Okay, God opened a door for you, and it's your responsibility to walk through the door. Anytime the Lord does a work, it's like a door that has been unlocked to you. It's like this room in the kingdom has been unlocked to you. It's become an inheritance for you. You have access to it. You're not waiting for God to come and do it again. You have access to it. It is up to you to steward what God has done. This becomes your responsibility, not his anymore. Some people are still waiting for God to blow the back doors of the room open and do some big revival thing. I'm going to be first in line. I love that stuff. I love it when God does, and suddenly, boom, there he is in the room, and people are just getting wrecked in God, and it's awesome. Pandemonium revival type services. Anyone ever been there before? Some of you have. The others are like, what church are we at right now? Listen, that's a real. That's very real. Been there, done that. Can I just tell you, though, God did that, and so now there's a stewardship that has to happen. Like, we're not waiting for revival. Let's just have one. We're not needing another healing meeting. Let's just heal people. Like, seriously, you're not needing the prophet to come to town to get a prophetic word. That's already happened here, so pretty much everybody in here has access to it. You just got to do it. That would be the point of a prophetic gift, is that the Lord releases a prophetic gift so that it hooks everyone else's phone up. So you can talk to God too. This is part of this process. The works that he's done on you, he's going to continue to do. Amen? Let's look at Psalm 71. This is King David. King David models remembering what God has done. He models it so well in the Psalms. He recites it before the Lord. Listen to this. I'm going to read a large chunk of this, and I want you to listen for the moments where David is remembering things that he's happened in the past, okay? In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to save me. Be to me a rock of habitation to which I can continually come. You have given commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the grasp of the wrongdoer and the ruler and the ruthless man. For you are my hope. O Lord, you're my confidence from my youth. To you, you have sustained me from birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb, so I will praise you continually. I have become a marvel to many, for you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with praise and with your glory all day long. Don't cast me off in the time of old age. Don't forsake me when my strength fails, for my enemies have spoken against me. And those who watch for my life have consulted together, saying, God's forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for there's no one to deliver him. God, don't be far from me. God, you're my God. Hasten to my help. Let those who are my adversaries be ashamed and consumed. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek to injure me. But as for me, I will hope continually and will praise you yet all the more. For my mouth shall tell of your righteousness and of your salvation all day long. We can go on and on with this. Did you catch how many times he refers back? He's thinking back to his youth where God has rescued him over and over and over. And then he brings it present into his current moment where King Saul is trying to kill him, where he's got enemies all around him, and he's remembering back to how God rescued him from a bear, from the lion. He's delivered him from death so many times. And David is calling upon the Lord who delivered him from the grip of death in the moment where death is threatening him. David is possessing a reality, a work of the kingdom, and he is stewarding it so that the realm of death and destruction can't have access to his life. How many works has God done in your life? What has he done for you? What has he spoken to you? What has he said? Because those things are supposed to become realms. They're not just moments in time. They're supposed to be brought forward right now into your present so that you are creating. You have tilled the field and you are allowing this work, whatever it was that God did in your past, you're bringing it forward so that people can come around you and find shelter in their times of storm. Because God's delivered you. Do you know what that means? That means you can be a deliverer. He saved you. Awesome. Did you know that your prayer life now will probably save others? The works that he done for you are supposed to be perpetual works because that's who he is. He's faithful. I'm confident of this very thing. This is Philippians 1:6. That he who began the work in you will perfect it until the day that Christ Jesus comes back. There's no such thing as a small work. How many apples are in a seed? How many apples are in a seed? Who determines how much fruit is going to come from that? The one who stewards the soil. I was praying for us as a church, and I've heard the Lord saying so clearly over us a blessing of fruitfulness. He's just declaring, be fruitful. Be fruitful. Like, this is a state of being is different than a state of doing. A state of being means you have owned the reality of who God is in your life. And you allow what God's done to begin to personify in your life. You look at his and you feed on his faithfulness, the things that he's done, and you feed on it until this becomes a part of you. It's who you are because it's what he's done. There's no difference. The work of grace in your life now becomes a fountain of grace for other people. When someone shares their testimony, you know, we have right now, We have four home groups going. We call them engage groups. And the sole purpose of these groups is to gather people together who are ministering out in the community. They are reaching out in their lives. A minimum of once a week, they're out there doing some work of supernatural ministry. They're healing people, they're prophesying over people, they're loving on people, they're intentionally serving, they're doing something. They just have chosen, I'm going to engage the world around me. We have, right now, we've had over the summer, four groups meeting. We have two more launching, and they're all in different cities. We have one in Eagan, one in Burnsville, one in Shakopee, one in Belle Plaine, one in St. Peter, going to be some in Mankato, and we have one in Elko New Market. The whole purpose of these groups is for people to come together and share the stories of what God has done. Sole purpose. We're going to come together, we're going to share the stories of what God has done, and we're going to release that reality over each other. So now I'm stewarding a story. For instance, someone tells me a story of financial provision. God breaks through, brings financial provision. Now I'm out in the community. See, I have this story. That grace has been released in the form of a story. That testimony created an atmosphere where I can have faith to believe God to do it again, which is literally what the word testimony means, to do it again. I'm stewarding this story now. I'm out in the community. I bump into someone who has lack and needs breakthrough. Guess what I have? I'm stewarding. I have a testimony of something that God had done to bring financial breakthrough supernaturally to somebody. I bring that story and I release it as a prophetic word over them. That grace that was activated in one person's life now becomes activated in another person's life. And the works of God are surging forward. And our community begins to be touched by the grace of God. And it's all because we are stewarding the faithfulness of God. I have heard testimony after testimony after testimony. Hundreds and hundreds of testimonies now. And they're fabulous. They range from dogs getting healed to people getting healed of cancer to people getting saved to, I mean, just all over the place. Awesome testimony. So much fun. Right? I'm a rich man. Like, I have these testimonies, these stewardship, and I'm like, oh, it's a bag of seed. It's a bag of seed. And the Lord's calling us to be stewards of that and to sow that seed into people. Because those works that he did in one place, he's going to do it again. Revelation 19:10 says the testimony of Jesus, what Jesus has done, his testimony, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Not produces the spirit of prophecy, not is declaring a spirit of prophecy, is the spirit of prophecy. What Jesus has done is declaring over people's futures. The work that Jesus did is prophesying to other people that have that same issue and the same need, that Jesus did it over here and he'll do it again. The works that he's done in your life are to be stewarded. Is anybody alive tonight? Come on, you can do this. This actually isn't difficult, by the way. This really isn't. This is not difficult. It's a little scary because that means that you're going to have to, first of all, recognize what did he do? And then second of all, find people that have the same need. And then third of all, release that over them. Means you're going to have to come out of yourself and steward, right? Do you believe he'll do it again? You know that telling the testimony, sharing, think about this. Everywhere Jesus went, he preached the good news of the kingdom, and then he demonstrated the kingdom. I asked this question of our second year school of ministry students last week. I asked them, I said, what is the good news of the kingdom? This is what he preached. He preached the good news of the kingdom everywhere he went, and then he would heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. What's the good news of the kingdom? See, we have compartmentalized the good news of the kingdom, the gospel, We've said the gospel is, and then it's a five-point message. The Romans road. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He doesn't show partiality. It's appointed unto man one to die, right? And we go through this list of stuff declaring that that is the gospel. In reality, what the gospel is, the good news of the kingdom, is simply this. It is the good news of what the kingdom has done. You want to preach the gospel? You're commanded to preach the gospel. Do you want to preach the gospel? Nobody's asking you to stand on a soapbox and preach your five-point message on why men are separated from God. That's not the gospel, by the way. That's not actually good news. You're separated from God. The good news of the kingdom is what the kingdom does for people. Everywhere Jesus went, he's like, the kingdom of heaven is like this. He's describing the kingdom, and then he's demonstrating the kingdom. Everywhere we go, you want to preach the gospel? Do you want to be a messenger for God in this hour of history? Then tell the stories of what Jesus has done. That is the good news of the kingdom. This is the gospel. Just tell stories. Don't preach Bible messages. Nobody wants to hear that. Go into a bar and stand up on a stool and break out your Bible and see what happens. Is that how Jesus conducted himself? Come on, I'm getting your stuff now. Is that how Jesus conducted himself? No. Jesus was called a drunkard and a friend of sinners because he went in among them and he was to them the kingdom and he demonstrated the kingdom and told them about the kingdom and they weren't feeling condemned. They just kept gathering and gathering and gathering because they wanted to hear about this kingdom. It's so good. It's awesome. Look at this. If you go into a bar and you start telling stories about supernatural miracles that you've seen with your eyes and you leave your four-point message out of it, but you just start telling stories, and then I saw this guy's leg grow out. What? Oh, yeah, and then a tumor fell off of this person's face. Oh, yeah, and then I saw an angel. Oh, yeah, and I'm walking through just the God stories. I'm driving my motorcycle, which a thing a lot of people do, down 169. I am coming into St. Peter, Minnesota. I have this fear of death on me. I know it's demonic. I don't know what to do. I just begin to feed on the faithfulness of God. Lord, you have protected my life, all of my life. I am hearing a voice in my head. You're going to die tonight. You're going to die tonight. You're going to die tonight. This is a true story, by the way. I'm driving into St. Peter. Next thing I know, I'm pulling into Belle Plaine, 30 miles away. Yeah, my brain did the same thing your brain's doing right now. What? Not kidding. I was transported 30 miles from where I was driving, 70 miles an hour in one direction to 70 miles an hour in another direction, 30 miles away. Now, let me tell you, that story goes a lot better than your four-point message on your Billy Graham track in a bar. Can I tell you that one demonstrates the reality of the kingdom in the supernatural realm, and people are drawn to it, and the other demonstrates religion, and nobody wants it. The gospel is the good news. Don't be confused. You are a living epistle, and God is writing on your life, and you're a demonstration for this generation. You are. Let people read the pages of your life. Now, obviously, it's kind of ironic that I would be a person who preaches the word and standing here preaching Bible and then at the same time, you know, giving it a hard time. I'm not saying that the preaching of the word isn't valid. It is to believers. The good news of Jesus Christ is not the four spiritual laws. The good news of Jesus Christ is that he saved you, you. Not your general testimony, your actual one. I was heading for destruction. Personally, this is me. I didn't have a hope. I am extremely confident that had Jesus not intervened in my life, I would not be with you right now. Jesus intervened in my life. He spoke to me. He convicted me of my sin. And when I saw my need for him and I received him as my Savior, a supernatural work happened in my life. This is my story. This is the good news. And it's the one you can preach without batting an eye. You just have to tell people your story. You don't need a class on how to share the gospel, y'all. You are the gospel. You don't need a class on a healing ministry. Now, some of us need to be convinced it's real. That's fine. Show and tell, that's fun. You'll learn something. You are his sheep. You know his voice. He is your provider. He is your healer. He's your banner. He's your protector. You can't be cursed because he's blessing you. You are the righteousness of Christ. He's faithful. He's faithful. What he's done in you, he's going to continue to do. The work that he did in you is the work he's doing in you and the work that he's going to continue to do. You can bank on it. You can bank on it. Some of us have areas of strength in one area of life, while others have strength in others. God's done a work in my life as far as like provision. I just have never had need. Like God's just done that. We don't live in wealth, not even close. But we just don't have need. Maybe you have an unusual grace with people. The Lord has just touched your life, and when you interact with people, you're able to bring community and connection. And it's just God, he just does that. Maybe you have a lack in needing provision. And maybe I have a lack in social skills. The work that he's done in me through testimony creates an atmosphere for you to apprehend by faith and have access to that same stuff. What it requires is honor. You just have to choose to honor it. It's honor. You just go, oh yeah, that's a work that God's done in you. And honor opens up inheritance. If I dishonor you, I cut off my source of inheritance. That means you need one another. That means you really are the body, and the body supplies every need. Like God does a work in the body, and then the body releases the same things that it provides. Come on, look to the left and your right real quick. Just smile at them big. Let them know you are still awake. Would you say this to somebody? I need what you got. I need what you got. We're not talking about special superstars. We're just talking about people who've been touched by the grace of God. Has nothing to do with our works. We don't get to be arrogant about it. just because he's faithful. That same stuff that he did in me, he's going to do in you because we're walking in honor towards one another. And we're imparting life to one another. Are you with me? Would you guys stand to your feet tonight? I'm going to read one last passage and we're going to pray. God plants a seed. What's he looking for? Fruit. He's looking for fruit. He's looking for fruit. As you go, this is Matthew 10, verses 7 and 8. This is Jesus' declaration over his disciples. As you go, preach. Say to them, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Do you know why Jesus could declare and command his disciples to do that? Because that is what they have been witnessing Jesus doing. It probably happened in their life. It is their testimony. Last part of that. Freely you have received. Freely give. Come on, repeat that with me. Freely I have received. Freely I will give. Come on, one more time. Freely I have received. So freely I will give. Father in heaven, I thank you and I praise you because you are incredibly good. And the breadth and the width and the height of the demonstration of your goodness just in this room, in each of these people, it surpasses each one of our understandings. You have done so many awesome things among us. God, you have done works in each person in here, and it just goes beyond our own experiences and comprehension. And Lord, we just honor that today. We honor that. I honor, Father, the work of your grace in this congregation, in each individual. And Lord, we just declare before you, do it again. Come on, just say that over, say that to him. Do it again, God. Lord, use me to do this work in other people. Come on, you healed me, God. Use me to heal people. Come on, you forgave me, God. Use me to release mercy over people. God, you brought peace to my life. Use me as a peacemaker. You've blessed me. You've provided for me, God. You've done works of supernatural provision. Lord, do that again. You're faithful, God. We praise you, God, because you are faithful. You are good. You are incredibly good. You're awesome, Lord, in all of your deeds, and we worship you tonight. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would cause the deeds, Lord God, that you've done in our lives to come alive and become fresh in our hearts and minds once again. God, I pray that the testimonies would move out of memory, Lord, into present stories. God, I pray that the stories of your goodness, Lord, would come to memory, would become alive in us, Lord, that when we tell it, Lord, it would be like your breath touching the lives of the people we tell. God, I pray that you would bring people across our paths that perfectly match the works, God, that you've done in our lives. That we would be stewards, Lord, of the seed you've given to us, that we might give it to them. Lord, and we're asking for harvest. Lord, right now, we as a congregation are asking for harvest. You saved us. You forgave us. And God, we are asking for souls. People would come to know you, Jesus, and find your great mercy. Oh, come on now. Do not slow down here. This is a yes and amen. Lord God, use us to bring salvation to our families. Use us, God, to bring salvation to people at our work. Use us, God. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you for that, Lord. And it's our commitment before you today that we will steward that which you've given to us. Lord, I pray for the soil of men's hearts. God, that everything that stands against and everything that has hindered fruitfulness in lives, Lord, that stuff would come to the surface and would be dealt with in this season. We thank you for that, Lord. Now, God, I bless your people. And Lord, I declare the blessing that I just hear you declaring over us. Be fruitful. Be fruitful. Multiply. Be fruitful. Multiply. Take dominion. I want you to be, just to be, to steward what I've done in your life. I bless you to be. I bless you to be so good at being you that you would be fruitful in these things, that you would bear much fruit. I bless you to be fruitful and to multiply, that work that God's done in you would get on other people. And then that work that gets on other people would release the dominion of the kingdom among us, and we would see the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God in Christ. I bless you tonight. Declare the Lord's blessing over you. And everyone that dared to agree with this prayer said, amen, amen. Can we give a good clap to the Lord tonight?